This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. Right now, on your desk or maybe in your car, is an item that you probably use every day, an item that you probably think is fairly unremarkable. But when this device launched in America, a business magazine described the frenzy to purchase it as a window-shattering, hell-raising, no-holds-barred fracas. It is the Humble Ballpoint Pen. And while we may be in the midst of a personal technology revolution, chances are you haven't given up using it just yet. James Ward is the co-founder of the Stationery Club and the Boring Conference. His new book is called The Perfection of the Paperclip: Curious Tales of Invention, Accidental Genius, and Stationery Obsession. And James, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So if you can tell me first, what leads a person like yourself to become so obsessed with stationery?
Well, I think it's an interest that I've always had ever since childhood. I think that you use these kind of items, these pens, these pencils, every day in school, and it reminds you of this kind of time of the, like, the new school year when you're starting out, and the world seems kind of less complicated and less terrifying.
So getting back to the ballpoint pen, when did it first come to the United States?
Well, it was launched in the US just after the Second World War. The design itself was developed by a guy called Laszlo Biro, who'd been born in Hungary, then moved to Argentina. He'd licensed his design to various other countries, and this guy called Milton Reynolds saw the Biro, and he wanted to be the guy to introduce it to the United States. He wasn't actually able to get the rights because they'd been sold to another company. And so there was this sort of scramble to launch his own version. But whereas Biro had kind of spent years developing the pen and sort of really working on the design, Milton Reynolds, his international pen, was sort of rushed into production. It sold a huge amount when it was first launched. Like you say, it was this sort of earth-shattering, enormous, in the same way that when Apple launched a new phone, there's always people queuing up outside the stores sort of overnight, and the extra police were called. But at the when it came to it, the pen wasn't really that good, and it leaked, and they had to return huge amounts. And then it was the Papermate, really, which sort of restored confidence in American consumers in the idea of the ballpoint.
How much were those first pens stateside?
They were relatively expensive, actually, upwards from sort of $12, $13, $14.
Which back in the 40s would have been, what, like $150 bucks or so?
Yeah, they would be pretty pricey items. So if it then turns out that the thing leaked or it didn't work, you're obviously going to be not too impressed.
You know, it's funny, when I was reading about this, I just assumed that somehow that the ballpoint pen was around before the atomic bomb. And it almost seems like it's been around so much longer than that, doesn't it?
It does. It's one of these things that you just take for granted. You don't really think that within a relatively short period of time, this whole concept of a ballpoint pen could even have been developed. The idea itself, as I say, it was created by this guy called Laszlo Biro. He was working as a journalist, and he visited the print room at the paper where he was working, and obviously you've got these enormous printing machines which generate huge amounts of heat.
Right.
And that caused his fountain pen to leak into his pocket, and he kind of thought, oh, if there was some other type of pen that didn't do that, then I wouldn't have to, you know, buy as many new shirts. And so there's this story that Laszlo was sitting in a cafe trying to work out how to solve this problem, and it had just been raining the day before, and there were some kids outside playing with marbles, and one of the children, he rolled a marble through a puddle, and Laszlo saw the marble rolling along the pavement and saw the line of water that it produced in its wake, and then he realized that a ball would be the solution.
So the ballpoint pen was born that way, and though the materials have changed, the actual design is pretty much exactly the same today, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the sort of classic ballpoint, which is the big crystal, that's hardly changed in 60 years since it was launched. And it's just considered this perfect example of industrial design. There's an example of it in the Museum of Modern Art in New York, and it's sold billions and billions, and it's just beautiful the way that it matches form and function so perfectly. I think something like half of all ballpoint pens sold around the world every day are Bic crystals. So it just shows that it's got this kind of universal quality to it.
Yeah, I will admit, I'm holding one in my hand right now.
So am I. So there you go.
Well, what has changed, since it was a coveted device that cost quite a bit, now we sort of think of pens as almost like shareware. And, I remember when I was a kid and banks used to keep all their ballpoint pens on those little chains so you couldn't take them with you. And I'm wondering, do you know when ballpoint pens started to become, this sort of like business card, this icon of, free swag that you could get from, any business out there?
I don't know the exact timing on that, but it's you've definitely hit on something there. We're always given huge amounts of promotional items from various companies. You get it through the post, you get people standing at railway stations handing stuff out, you get people at conventions and fairs giving you various things. But if they're not useful, then you just throw them away. The thing with pens or other office supplies is that they are useful, so people do hold on to them. So if you give someone a pen with your company's name on it, that is more likely to hang around in the office, and then the name sort of gradually sinks in.
Is there any evidence that that actually works as a promotional tactic?
There is and there isn't. I mean, there is, but the people who have produced that evidence are from the companies that make promotional pens. So,
okay.
You have to sort of, buy beware.
Well, I have seen some fancy variations in, the past 10 years or so, specifically the zero gravity pen I always think of. But, anything more than a Bic sort of seems to be a bit gimmicky. And I'm wondering, do you think there's anything that could ever replace the ballpoint pen, in terms of convenience, cost, and doing its job well?
For me, I don't know where that would come from. I'm sure there is something just sort of around the corner. But in terms of its cost, in terms of its durability, its reliability, its quality, there's something about the ballpoint that just really, really appeals to me. That, some people prefer fountain pens, some people prefer rollerballs. It's a matter of taste. But for me, there's something about the ballpoint. It's this thing that we all share in common. That it's just sort of quite beautiful.
Well, James, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
That's no problem at all.
James Ward is the co-founder of the Stationery Club and the Boring Conference. That's a one-day celebration of the mundane, the ordinary, and the overlooked. And James is also author of the new book, The Perfection of the Paperclip: Curious Tales of Invention, Accidental Genius, and Stationery Obsession. And you'll find a link to read more about it at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.